So these amazing songs are spoken by Isaiah. Now this is important, but they're actually the words of the Lord Jesus. That's what's so profound here. So we're able to hear things about the Lord Jesus as he is coming from God the Father to this world to do his ministry, to die for our sins, and yet he is still united and connected to God the Father. This is a miracle. I'm going to do my best tonight to talk about this profound truth that Jesus Christ came from God the Father as God the Son. He took on humanity. He was fully human. He was fully God. He was fully God, and yet he was fully man at the same time. This is a miracle. I said last week to you that if the Lord Jesus had not been both God and man, we could not be saved, and there are a lot of reasons for that. So tonight, let's begin by reading Isaiah 50 and just hear these words. Isaiah is saying them, but he is speaking these words, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus about his wonderful relationship with God, the Father, as he comes to do his mission on the earth. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. The word here is of the learned, of those who have been taught. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who have been taught, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He, that is the Lord God, awakes me morning by morning. He awakes my ear to listen as a disciple, as a learner. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Verse 7 is important. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Again, verse 9. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Heavenly Father, and I bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I'd like for you to look in your, keep your place in Isaiah 50 and turn over to John chapter number 14. John 14. Here's the Lord Jesus. These are amazing chapters. John 14, the Lord Jesus washes the disciples' feet in John 13. And then they gather at the table for their meal together at Passover. And then I call these the table talks of Jesus. So 14, 15, 16 in your Bible are the table talks of Jesus with his disciples. He says some very powerful things to them. Now, you've just read this. For the Lord God helps me. Verse 7. Behold, the Lord God helps me. So now I want you to hear this. Philip, one of the disciples, was speaking to the Lord Jesus, and he said, Lord, show us the Father. Show us God the Father. And it's enough. Now read these words carefully. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe, and this is a very important phrase with what we're talking about tonight, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Now look at it here. Verse 10. The works that I do, I don't speak on my own initiative. I am in the Father, the Father is in me. The Father who abides in me, that is, lives in me. God the Father lives in me. Now this is Jesus speaking on the earth. God, the unseen God of heaven in the eternities, abides in me. He abides in me, as he says here. This is such, and he does his work. This is what we learn about abiding in Christ. We learn from the Lord Jesus, who was the servant of the Lord, and we'll see it tonight in very, very clear form. We learn to abide in Christ the same way. You see, the Lord Jesus set for us the pattern of what it means to abide in Christ. And by the way, while you're there, John 15. What does the Lord Jesus say to the disciples? Verse 4 of John 15. The same word. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. This is the glory and mystery of the Christian life. How can I be a different person? By willpower? By good moral thoughts? By ideas and teaching? No, by abiding in Christ. Christ abides in me. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. This becomes a very powerful, it's what Paul calls the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you're a believer here tonight, Jesus Christ is in you. This is a tremendously important. Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit possesses us. We are now possessed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, we can say in a very real way, was possessed by God the Father while he was on the earth. This is a profound truth that we must give deep thought to. And now we come back to Isaiah 50. And we see what I've given to you here. I've tried to break these down into at least six areas in which we see, and the focal truth I gave you was God the Father sent and helped Jesus Christ fulfill his ministry. And I should have finished it by saying, because God the Father was in Christ and Jesus Christ was in the Father. Now this is mysterious, because how is God in himself? Well, God the Father sent the Son, and the Lord Jesus became God the Son with a human nature, a human life. So we see now this beautiful picture of how God the Father sends his Son. Number one, God the Father gave Jesus Christ the words of life for his ministry. Have you ever thought about this? The red letter words of the Lord Jesus are actually the words of God the Father. The words of Jesus are the words of God the Father. Notice he says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Oh, how many times? How many times do we see this in the life of the Lord Jesus? I gave it to you here. John 6:68. I'm just following my outline. When you lift up the Son of Man, that is, when you crucify the Son of Man, Jesus called himself the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Please notice, and I do nothing on my own initiative. See, he says that here to the Jews, but he also said it later to the disciples. I don't do anything on my own initiative. But I speak, please notice, I speak these things as the Father taught me. Jesus spoke what he was taught by God the Father. You see, we forget about this. I try to mention it almost every week so that we will remember the Lord Jesus was born and is our brother in flesh. He knows what it's like to be human and to struggle. Luke 2 says the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus had to learn the word of God. Jesus had to learn. He had to learn what the prophecies of the Old Testament were. It isn't as if Jesus came from heaven with all this in his brain, even as an infant laying there. No, he grew and gained and developed knowledge. His mother and dad thought, remember, he was in the caravan. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Remember that? They go back, and there is the Lord Jesus. And where is he? Sitting with the rabbis. He's sitting with the great teachers of Israel in the temple, learning and asking questions. He wasn't teaching them, he was asking them. He was growing in the knowledge of God. Look, when you come to know Jesus, you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. All of us here, no matter how long you've walked with Jesus, we continue to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. The saddest thing to me as a pastor is when people appear to act as if they know enough and they just quit learning. They quit seeking God. They don't read their Bible. They don't continue to seek to know God. They know enough. Notice, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. Why? That I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Notice the Lord Jesus said on your outline, I did not consider, this is the Roman soldier. Come and heal my servant. And the Roman soldier says, I do not consider myself worthy to you, for you to come to me, to my house. Notice, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Remember that? And the Lord said, your servant's healed. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. What must have meant more to that paralyzed man? Think about this. He was paralyzed, and his friends had to take him everywhere. Now listen, but he was paralyzed in his mind. You know, when you're in sin, it paralyzes you. It makes you lack the ability to think or to process or to do what's right. What was more wonderful to this man? When the Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, he wasn't saying, even though he did, get up and walk, he was saying, your sins are forgiven. A word from Jesus. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, of the learned, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Look, follow the Lord Jesus through the Gospels. He was tested by the smartest minds in Israel who tried to trick him and trap him. All the rabbis, all the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders and the scribes who were very knowledgeable of the Old Testament. Even these words we're looking at. Look how the Lord Jesus handled those questions and responses in his entire ministry. Because God gave him the words that he was to say. When you read Jesus' words, you're reading the words of God the Father. That's really important. Secondly, God the Father was, as we saw, abiding with Jesus Christ his entire ministry. Look at this beautiful picture. By the way, this is true for you if you're a follower of Jesus. Have you ever thought about how the Lord wakes you up in the morning? Well, you thought it was the dog. You thought it was a rooster. Have you ever noticed that people who have roosters, roosters all day long? Somebody needs to get a gun, shoot those roosters. They never stop. He awakes me morning by morning. He awakes me morning by morning. Now, we're all going to go to bed tonight, assuming we're going to wake up tomorrow. But what if you don't? If you die today, are you 100% certain that you will go to heaven? You see, there's intimacy here. He awakes me morning by morning. Oh, how some of the men in this room are spoiled because your dear wives, they come and say, honey, wake up, I love you. Here's your coffee and here's your sweet roll for today. Oh, wake up, I love you. That was a joke, but it didn't go over very well. There's nothing more special than to know that God wakes us every day. Look, what do you do before you get out of bed? You make your list of what you got to go do? Or do you spend a few moments thanking God that He's given you another day of life? The Lord Jesus woke up morning by morning. He was human. He went to sleep on the boat. He was exhausted. He was tired. He awakes me morning by morning. Look at this. He awakes my ear to listen as a disciple. This is true for the Lord Jesus. This is true for us. Do you have, let him who has ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear or do you have ears to not hear? You see, we're surrounded by people when we talk about the Lord Jesus and spiritual things who either can hear spiritually or cannot hear spiritually. It's true for every person. Jesus knew that God spoke to him and he's told his words to him. And so God has opened my ear. Look at that. It's a beautiful phrase there. The Lord God has opened my ear. He's opened my ear. And so the Lord Jesus said some very sweet things that I think we miss this sometimes. You think Jesus, what would it have been like if Jesus had not had this abiding relationship with God the Father? For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Look at that. John 8, I am not alone. Look, you're not alone either. Amen. You're not alone. Well, I'm alone. No, you're not alone. If you're a believer in Christ, I am not alone. And he who has sent me is with me. John 8, 29. This is to the Jews who were continually saying, well, you're illegitimate born. Our father's Moses and we got a pedigree and we're... But the Lord said, he who has sent me is with me and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. By the way, one day they took him up Calvary's mountain and they crucified him, and then the dread, the horror of horrors that came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Are you listening? My God, why have you forsaken me? This one who had this abiding relationship with God the Father, his relationship with God was cut off when he hung on the cross and the sin of the world was placed upon him. God abandoned him. Are you listening?
Amen.
So that you would not be abandoned in your sin. He took our place. Can you imagine the pain of the Lord Jesus? Look, this is not a movie. This is not a theatrical act I'm talking about. This is real. The Lord Jesus, fully human, fully God, though we'll never understand that, says to the Lord God, hanging on the cross, God the Father, why have you forsaken me? God the Father gave Jesus Christ his will to be accomplished in his ministry. Notice number three. For I have not spoken on my own authority. Notice how many times the Lord, it's not on my own initiative, it's not on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus came to this world, and from the beginning of his ministry, what did he do? He preached, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. Jesus spoke about the importance of believing and having eternal life. He came and did exactly. Notice, he makes his way to Jerusalem. And finally, you remember there, I believe it's John 12, when he's going up the mountain and they're all celebrating there. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord said, now the Son of Man will be lifted up. Now my time has come. You see, he knew what he'd been sent to do the first time, and that was to die for the sins of the world, to be the substitute for sin. Notice, I have it there on your outline. My teaching is not mine, but he who sent me. The Lord's opened my ear. And guess what? He told him what to do, and isn't this great news? The Lord did completely what God the Father told him to do. Amen. Are we obedient in our Christian life to the Lord Jesus? He completely, perfectly obeyed God. Notice John 17:4, when he was praying to the Father, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished, you can underline, accomplished the work which you have given me to do. The words which you gave me, I have given to them in that prayer. And then I have given them your word. Folks, we have been given the words of God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Whatever God wanted to say to us, he has said to us through Jesus Christ. He said, it is finished on the cross. Now I have a note for you. I wanted you to see this because this is very important. And I want us to look at this. So take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to read it because I want to point something out to you that's very important. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is talking about, because of the will of Jesus Christ, there is a new way for us all to be saved. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I've given you the first part of it, beginning in verse 5. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when he, that is when Jesus, comes into the world. Now, it's quoting here from Psalm 40. Now, remember this. When you read the psalm, sometimes you're reading the words of Jesus. Just like we're reading the words of Jesus in Isaiah. Look, these words of Jesus are being spoken. Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. So that was the will of God, the Father. He's going to be like us. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Notice, here's the phrase. Then I said, this is what Jesus said to God the Father. Behold, I have come. In the scripture, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, notice, to do your will, O God. Amen. Verse 14, for verse 10, by this will, I have come to do your will. By this will, by the commitment, the will, the free will of Jesus Christ, to submit himself to the will of God to die, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Is that good news to anybody in this room? It took the complete obedience of Jesus Christ for us to be cleansed from our sin. Now turn it on yourself. Do you obey God? Is that something for somebody else? Jesus was submissive to the suffering from sinners that would come doing the will of God. Now he says, the Lord has opened my ears and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. I read it to you here just for a moment. Matthew 26:67. They spit in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. They spit in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Here's what it means to do the will of God. I gave my back to those who strike me. I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. Here's what it means to do the will of God. You obey God if nobody else goes with you. You obey God. You do what the Lord tells. This is what a Christian does. I will obey the will of God. I will obey and follow the Lord Jesus' words no matter what it costs me. And Christians have said that for millennia, and it has cost many their lives. Jesus was confident, though, because he abided in God the Father and the Father abided in him, there was confidence. Look at this. For the Lord God helps me. Now, this is the Lord Jesus saying this. What? Did Jesus ever need any help? Yes. Every day. Every day in his earthly ministry, he needed help. I can envision, I told you this last week when we were reading in Isaiah 49. This is what happens when the Lord Jesus is with God the Father in those quiet places in prayer. You are my servant, Israel, in whom I show my glory. And I said, I have toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. The sweetness of the relationship the Lord Jesus had with God the Father. And so what does the Lord tell us to do? Now, are you listening? Go to your secret place and talk to the Father in secret. And when you go to the Father in secret, here's what you say. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have already forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Who is it we're talking to? God the Father. You see, the Lord spoke to the Lord and was confident because he had an abiding relationship with him. Listen, friend, I'm trying to encourage us. You will never be alone in your Christian life. If you know the Lord Jesus, you will always have the Lord with you. Amen. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint. See, God's with me, so I'm not scared of anything. God is with me, so I've set my face like flint. You can't stop me from doing God's will. I know that I will not be ashamed. Whosoever believes in the Lord will not be ashamed. Do you know that's what the Bible says?
Amen.
There's no shame in following Jesus. There's a lot of shame in rejecting Jesus. Now, he had this confidence. He says, verse 7, for the Lord helps me. Verse 9, behold, the Lord helps me. The Lord helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Does that sound familiar? If God is for us,
who
shall be
again?
Yes.
Come on. Amen.
You see, because of what God did for the Lord Jesus, Jesus and what he has done for us, if God's for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
That's the confidence we live with. If I'm living, if I'm dying, if I lose everything, if I have everything, whatever is given to me, whatever is not, it doesn't matter. I have a confidence because God is with me all the time in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? The Holy Spirit inside of me just keeps reminding me there's more to come. There's more to come. You know, heaven is better than earth. You do know that, don't you? We don't always act like that. Indeed, the hour is coming, this is number 6. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You've been abandoned, you've been rejected, you've been put aside, you've ever been treated by people in disrespectful ways. Well, look, If God is for you, who can be against you? That's what Paul later said to Christians. And I say it to you tonight. If God is for you, who can be against you? Answer, no one. So what's the answer? Who is among you that fears the Lord? This is a question now. Who is he that obeys the voice of his servant? Who is the one who walks in darkness and has no light? That may be where you are today. Notice, let him, the one who's walking in darkness, the one who fears the Lord, the one who obeys the voice of his servant, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Paul said it. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what we read earlier, abide in me and I in you. Tonight, have you thought about how you are united to Jesus Christ? You are in Christ, Christ is in you. Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. Whatever you say represents the Lord Jesus. He is in you. Whatever you do with your body, you do with the Lord Jesus. Paul talked a lot about this. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Mike Miller's dead that was born into this world. Now I've been born again, and it's no longer me who is alive, but Christ lives in me. I hope that all of you are growing in your understanding and love for how Christ is in you. And the only way that happens is for you to spend time with God alone. Church worship won't do it enough. Your Bible class won't do it enough. You have to find the time to meet God. And that's what I've said to people. You know, men would say to me, Pastor Mike, I don't know how to get started. Well, just what I just said. Pray the Lord's Prayer, sit down and be quiet, and say those words that the Lord said for us to pray. And let the Lord speak to you. Let each of those phrases become important to you. Our Father who's in heaven. Think about it. Hallowed be your name. Tonight I hope that you see the glory of the Lord Jesus, and as he abided in the Father and the Father abided in him. Now we go to our hymn for tonight. A word we don't use often. Charles Wesley, one of my all-time favorite hymn writers. Stupendous height of heavenly love. Stupendous height of heavenly love, of pitying tenderness divine. It brought the Savior from above. It caused the springing day to shine, the Son of Righteousness to appear and gild our gloomy hemisphere. God did in Christ himself reveal to chase our darkness by his light, our sin and ignorance dispel, direct our wandering feet aright, and bring our souls with pardon blessed to realms of everlasting rest. Come then, O Lord, thy light impart, the faith that bids our terrors cease. Into thy love direct our heart, into thy way of perfect peace. And cheer the souls of death afraid, and guide them through the dreadful shade. Answer thy mercy's whole design, my God incarnated for me. My spirit make thy radiant shrine, my light and full salvation be. And through the shades of death unknown, conduct me to thy dazzling throne. Amen. Now that's some words. Heavenly Father, you gave the Lord Jesus your words. You love the world, and you sent your Son. John the Apostle said it. We quote it. We all memorized it. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Where would we be without the complete obedience of Jesus Christ? Where would we be without the example of the Lord Jesus abiding in you, God the Father, and you abiding in him? Help us to learn like Jesus. Help us to learn how to abide in Christ like he abided in you. We thank you for this time together. May these significant, glorious mysteries not pass by our minds too quickly before we're caught up again in the busyness and the silliness and the frivolousness of this world. Grant us to have eyes to see and to think often of heaven and eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday. Have a good, somebody on the way out. God bless you.